Willie and D. Mace continuing here. 12:45 is our time. We are into the second hour of NHL free agency. The Predators have made a huge splash. More than any team in the NHL, they had the cap space to do it. We were wondering about teams like Utah, other teams that had a lot of cap space, but when the Athletic and other publications' websites were putting together who was in the best position to make the splash, none of the other teams that had big cap space were teams that have won a lot. This is a 99-point team from last year. Other teams had not had that kind of cachet, and the Predators took full advantage. It looks like they were a place where open free agents wanted to go. They have picked up Jonathan Marchessault, Steven Stamkos, Brady Shea, Scott Wedgwood, and we think Alex Carrier has decided to stay. So with all that in mind, I want to bring in Adam Vingan, who was co-hosting with me last week on Willie and D-Mace, and we set the table for a lot of this stuff. So, Adam, now that it's happened, what's your reaction?
I was watching TSN trade, or whatever, I was about to say trade center, but it's not trade deadline. It's not trade deadline day. I was watching the free agent frenzy. There you go. And they put a graphic on the screen of their top five free agents. And three of the five had the Predators logo next to them. And that was quite the screenshot. And as we've talked, as Robbie and I talked about this morning, and Willie and Chris and Derek, you know this full well, the Predators have never been historically big players in free agency. They've never been considered a popular destination in free agency. I remember the days of Nick Bonino signing a four-year contract and that being a big signing for the Predators on free agency day. No disrespect to Nick Bonino. But to acquire Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, those two in particular, Brady Shea is a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's going to help on the back end. But to acquire Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, I didn't think they'd be able to do both. I thought it was going to be one or the other. Robbie and I were talking about, well, if they strike out on Stamkos, could Marchessault be the big fish? Well, now they got both of them. And I think one thing that you can't understate, Barry Trotz has talked about serial winners. It became a catchphrase of his last year. We almost poked fun at him a little bit just because of how much he would talk about it. But when you add Stamkos and Marchessault to this team, they now have four players who have won the Stanley Cup at least once since 2019, when you include Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen, and they have two players who have won the Conn Smythe Trophy within that span, O'Reilly and Marchessault. So you're getting two proven winners to add to your other proven winners, and clearly Barry Trotz sees a short-term window here of the next 2-3 years perhaps, where the Predators have their best chance to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm sort of blown away. I've only been here for 9-10 years, and I've never seen a free agency period like this for any team. I mean, especially the Predators, but I can't recall one team acquiring three of the top five players on the market, according to one network, at the same time. It's just mind-boggling.
The fact that they and really when you go back when they were entering the off season last year, Adam, this is what I don't think any of us could have foreseen. Is I think a lot of people were wondering, would Barry Trotz take a big step back? They had already taken the step back at the trade deadline with the four trades: Granlund, Ekholm. They traded Nino Niederreiter. They traded Tanner Jeannot, who was a fan favorite and a locker room favorite. They got a lot of assets for that, and they were wondering, are they going to keep going in that direction? But instead, the serial winner offseason of last year and then this, I don't think I saw it coming, but Barry Trotz certainly had a vision here.
Yes, and when you consider the fact that you still have Roman Josi in the prime of his career, a runner-up for the Norris Trophy, a first-team NHL All-Star, you have Philip Forsberg coming off a career year, a second-team NHL All-Star. You re-sign UC Saros, who, despite having a down year, finished fifth in Vezina Trophy voting within the top five for the third year in a row. There's clearly a window here. There, if you want to attempt to win a championship with those three players at the height of their powers, this is when you have to do it. And you know, the one thing that sticks out to me the most about the additions of Stamkos and Marchessault specifically, the Predators lost a six-game playoff series despite allowing only 13 goals in six games. That's 2.17 goals against per game. The problem was they only scored 12 goals. So the fact that
13-12 in six games.
Yes, right, and they lost. And now you're adding Stamkos and Marchessault, who combined to score 82 goals last season. You have a recent Conn Smythe winner and Marchessault, who scored, I believe, 13 goals during the Golden Knights' run to the Stanley Cup. Of course, we know what Stamkos has done in his career, one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation. You know, scoring should not be an issue for this club next season. And like when you look at the offensive generation, Willie, you know this, we talked about this last week a lot. When you look at their ability to create scoring chances, an odd man rushes, they were one of the better teams in the league last year. The issue was that they struggled to finish those chances on a consistent basis. Now you have two players in Stevenson, not Stevenson, who actually Stevenson signed with another team. Chandler Stevenson signed with the Kraken. We talked a lot about him. But now you have two players in Stamkos and Marchessault, who are proven goal scorers, and Brady Shea, who is one of the better goal scorers from the back end in the league. So offense, in terms of goal production, should not be anywhere near as much of an issue for this team next season.
Now, do you think they owe this, the way they're attacking free agency? They owe this to guys like Roman Josi, who have been here, who is sort of on a, even though he's still playing great hockey, he's on the latter part of his career than the beginning. But they owe it to guys like this who have been through the fight for many years to really go out and really, you know, take advantage of free agency and really try to build a team, whether it be for the next 3 years or beyond that, but really try to build a Stanley Cup winning team.
Yeah, and I remember last year on this date when the Predators signed O'Reilly, Shen, and Nyquist. My first reaction was, aren't these moves counterintuitive to Willie's earlier point? I thought this team was going to take a step back. Why are they signing these players to multi-year contracts? And it became clear as the season progressed and we heard more from Barry Trotz that he wasn't interested in taking a real step back. I remember him saying to me before the playoffs that he would take culture over a high draft pick anytime. Because once you accept losing, it's hard to learn to win. Those were his words. So I can understand why there might be some Predators fans who have seen what the team has done over the past couple years and think to themselves, well, how are we going to get the types of players that put this team over the top, which are typically available at the top of the NHL draft? Well, Barry Trotz has tried the past 2 years to trade into the top of the NHL draft. It hasn't worked out, but to your point, Derek, and you can speak to this as a professional athlete. You know, as you near the end of your career, you certainly do want to win a championship for those guys who haven't been able to do it. And Roman Josi remains a highly effective player, but those years are dwindling. And if you want Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and UC Saros, those three in particular, to be part of a championship-winning team, you have to strike now. And that's what I've seen in these moves today. You know, the interesting one, and we'll have to wait to hear what Barry Trotz has to say, is Marchessault, because there were reports earlier today and yesterday that he was going to New Jersey.
Right.
And it appears that the Predators...
Or going back to Vegas, right?
Or going back to Vegas. And the Predators swooped in at the 11th hour, so to speak. I mean, it makes it seem like he fell into their lap.
And Vegas has not replaced Marchessault. That's another thing to keep your eye on, is what's happening with some of the other contenders. It's not like the Avalanche are reloading. The Edmonton Oilers are reloading. Those teams are just trying to hang on to what they've got. They've been poached a little bit, some of these teams. So that's an intriguing part when it all shakes out here, where those rosters look. But, Adam, here's one more point I want to hit with you before we let you go. And that is, you were not one of the Avengers like D-Mace and I. Right, you made no secret you were in favor of trading UC Saros along with a lot of the people that contribute to our shows, and it became a great back and forth debate. We hashed it out, but one of the points you guys were skeptical about is, could you have UC Saros signed long term at a bigger number and still have the resources to have a deep roster that has enough ways to beat you with scoring. Do you think they have accomplished that in doing so today with these moves?
It certainly seems that way, and yes, I hear you. That would certainly was part of my argument, as we talked about last week when the contract first came out for UC Soros. The number one sticking point for me was just the way that the contracts lined up between him and Yaroslav Askarov. The contractual timeline was just too off for me as compared to when Soros broke into the league and Pecorine was nearing the end of his career. But as I said, now you've got, you know, a top five goalie, arguably. You have a Norris caliber defenseman. You have, you know, one of the better left wings in the league. Now you actually have two of the better left wings in the league, if you want to include Steven Stamkos. You have Jonathan Marchessault, who can play either wing, I think primarily right wing. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with their lineup. And the other question is, and this is something that you guys can continue to talk about, is now that, you know, you figured that with all of these signings that the Chandler-Stevenson idea wasn't going to happen, and he has signed with the Seattle Kraken. So unless, I mean, Stamkos has experience at center. I believe Marchessault has experience at center, but they're both primarily wingers. What do you do at second line center now?
Yeah, that's maybe the biggest question going into training camp is how do you deploy these guys? It's a great point.
Yeah, my
you got a lot of options, but there's not anything 100% clear.
Yeah, my gut tells me you put Marchessault on the right opposite Forsberg, and on the top line, and you put Stamkos on the left wing on the second line opposite maybe Gustav Nyquist or Luke Evangelista. But the question is, who plays second line center? Is Tommy Novak capable of doing that? I thought Novak struggled immensely in the postseason. You know, are you confident with him in that role? I mean, there are a lot of questions about that specific spot. But if you're a Predators fan today, thinking about the money they spent and the players they brought in, I mean, this is the biggest free agency day in Nashville Predators history, which is not a high bar to clear, but. This, I mean, if you're a Predators fan, I can't help to know how you can't be excited about this.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us. As always, we'll continue to check in with you throughout the week as this all shakes out. But thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, Adam Vingan joining us. When we come back, we'll get back to the big discussion. Chris Mason is with us, D. Mace, Jacob Underwood. Things have calmed down a little bit. There's a lot of secondary guys signing now as that first wave has gone by the boards. Predators probably not going to be involved in anything else today, I wouldn't think, unless there's a trade or anything like that. But they have made the big swings, and they have made the additions. We'll try to sort out the depth chart. I think that's a great question that Adam brings up. I want to get C-Mace's thought on that, is how would he deploy the centers and line combinations? This is something that Barry Trotz and Andrew Brennan have the rest of the summer to try to figure out. They've got pieces, but how do they all fit? Stay tuned. Final hour of the show is coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.